Hi there, and welcome to today's episode on Career Into Motherhood podcast. We are really excited to be here with you today to record this session. I'm Kelly from Career and Parenthood, and I am joined by the fabulous Helvina from Start the Ripples. We're both partner coaches with Careering Into Motherhood, and we support women on their return to work post maternity leave or whatever reason that you've stepped out of the workplace. And we look to support women growing their careers and think about how they can navigate life at the same time. We want you to take away some practical tips from this podcast. We hope that it's going to spark some ideas for you, that you'll be able to continue conversations post this as well. And most importantly, realize that whatever journey that you are going through right now, you are not alone. So sit back, enjoy this session, and we hope that you take something away. So what I really love about the work that you do is that you work with people returning to work for a number of different reasons, actually. And what are some of the key challenges that you see in those individuals that might be returning or looking to return to the workplace?
Yeah, so actually, I've worked with different people returning for different reasons. It could be after mat leave, it could be after extended periods at home with kids. So, for example, the kids starting primary school or secondary school. So different returning points, but actually the themes are really similar in the challenges. So primarily the beginning is around identity. So when people come back into the workplace, is that, do I belong here? Do I fit here? Who am I now? Because the person who's left work, whether it's been for a year or several years, has come back a different person. So there's always a big question around, you know, who am I and what do I want? So purpose and direction is another sort of key theme. So when people go off to mat leave or they go off and decide to be stay at home for a bit, they're not less ambitious. They don't come back less ambitious. It's just actually their direction may have changed slightly, or what they want has changed slightly. Their priorities have changed, or their non-negotiables have changed. So there's also a challenge around, what do I want now? And with that comes time as well. So another key challenge, if you like, is time. So time around work-life balance and the and new boundaries that need to be put in place is a bit of a blurring. It's where I find a lot of women I work with don't have time for themselves. There's quite a lot of challenge around self-care. So I talk to a lot of women that come back in and they're literally a million miles an hour juggling plates. And so really finding it difficult to put time in for their own well-being. They think they're doing it, but actually when they step back and look at it, they're like, actually, I'm not doing that. So a big challenge around that. And it's where the guilt starts to come in as well. How much time am I spending with my work priorities, my kids, my friends, my family? So time is a big one, but mindset as well. So the mindset monkeys, again, back to that whole, where do I fit? That I'm going to get found out. Well, I can't do this anymore, which is about the confidence as well. So another key thing I find when people return back to work is confidence, walking back in with confidence. So abilities, skills, knowledge. If you've been out of the game for a little while, feeling rusty, have things moved on without me? A lot of that is wrapped up together. But individually, identity, time, mindset, confidence, purpose, direction, sort of individual bits. So yeah. So how about you?
There's quite a lot there, actually, isn't it? And I think going back to one of the first things you said about individuals returning to workplace, I think what strikes me is industries, businesses, they can change so quickly as well. And so whilst we might still have the skill sets that we have, and I actually believe when we are out for caring responsibilities or parenting responsibilities, actually we build on a lot of the skill sets that we have. We definitely build resilience, multitasking, for example, and I think there's an opportunity for people returning to the workplace to showcase that a lot more. But actually, businesses do move on and change. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges for people returning, is to understanding what's happening now from a business perspective, as well as for them and their own individual purpose. And I wanted to pick up on ambition, because actually there was a report released recently, and I believe it was a Careering Into Motherhood report, actually, that says particularly about women returning post-maternity leave, 63% actually return with more ambition than they might have had before. And I find that really interesting, because I talk to my clients a lot about that, and that does surprise people. And I think it's the biases that people have.
Yeah.
That we might be returning with less ambition, whereas actually a lot of people are returning with more ambition. And I think that's really important for us to be calling out.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's often this grey area between, you want to be what you personally perceive as the best mum you can be. And that in the in its right almost negates being ambitious. So you can be ambitious or a good mum, you know, good mum or ambitious. And I think it's a really grey area. And I think that's actually where I find a lot of women struggle internally with trying to make that balance work for them individually, but societally as well. It's, you've got the woman that seems to have it all with the high flying career, but then she's judged because she's not home with her kids all the time. And so there's, I think there's a couple of pieces there. There's the societal sort of view of the ambitious woman who's got kids. And then there's also the personal sort of guilt bit as well. I'm like, can I be ambitious? Can I be a mum? How have you managed that sort of ambitious? Because I know how ambitious you are. How do you manage the ambition in a young child?
My daughter's 18 months and then my puppy is just over 2 years. So it's like having two, actually. But it's really interesting what you say there about the societal pressures. And actually, for me, that's one of the biggest challenges that we have, is all around the societal pressures, the things that we see of these women that are maybe smashing it and having it all. And then for us kind of returning home thinking, well, why aren't we doing that? And also able to balance our families. And I think what's most important when we're thinking about our career and our family life is what works for us. What's the rhythm that we want to create for our family? Because there is so much pressure if we're looking at social media or if we're, you know, aspiring to be things. I just don't know whether sometimes those things are reality or not. And so one of the biggest things for me is focusing on what is most important for me and my family and our own personal rhythm, and almost staying in our own lane. Does that make sense? And,
oh, gotcha.
And trying not to take influence from things that I might see on social that might be doing me more harm than good. And that's a lot about what I talk to my clients about as well.
I was getting excited there because I just totally resonate with what you're saying. And do you know what? I think the staying in your own lane is really important. It's so easy to get into that compare. And what's that phrase? Comparison is the killer of joy. I mean, literally, it's so difficult not to. But I think also what I found is that that changes as well. So that rhythm of your own family changes, and also your version of success changes. So what I may have thought was ambitious, successful, you know, even when my first one went back to the, I went back out to maternity leave to Matilda, who's now 11. Gosh, can't believe that. Where I am now, 11 years on, I'm very different. The themes are still the same. That's what I mean. It doesn't matter what life stage almost of going back to work you're at. I think those themes of time and what do I want and the mindset monkeys, they're still there. But actually, what do I want now? What is my version of success? What fits for my family now has changed. So for you, with your little one at 18 months and two for the dog, you know, I'm at age 11 and age 8. And then there's also my own sort of where I'm at my life stage, which is getting towards the menopausal stuff. So there's all that that's baked into it as well. So I think returning to work at different life stages has got so many little nuances that's different for everybody. And a good place to start is, well, who are you now?
Yeah.
Right now. Not the woman who went off on mat leave or the woman that decided to be the stay-at-home mum or whatever phrase we're using for that. Who are you now? What do you want now? What makes you happy
What's
now?
Important?
Absolutely, yeah. In fact, I bumped into a friend of mine the other day, and she's been, I don't know, is there a new term for stay-at-home mum? I've always used that one. But anyway, so she's headed up the PTA at school for the last 5 or 6 years, and she is an absolutely amazing fundraiser. She's been incredible. But she wants to go back to work in a traditional sense, as much as earning money, now that her youngest is going to secondary school. And when I bumped into her, she said, "You really helped me when you asked me, what do I enjoy?" Because she was talking about going back to work. And it's funny how you throw away conversations with friends, you don't even think about the impact you might have. But actually, it was just that question, what do I enjoy? It made me think, she said it made her think about the fundraising she does, what she enjoys about it, what she gets out of it. And the job that she's now doing, she literally started last week, is all in that sector, the charitable sector. It's about fundraising and da-da-da-da-da. It's important to think about what you want now and how does it fit into where you are now. And what she's doing now is very different to what she was doing before she had children.
And that's incredible, isn't it? To be able to see individuals kind of shift in what they're doing because they're now focused on what's right for me right now. What legacy do I want? What do I want to be doing with my days? What do I enjoy? And all of those elements are really important, I believe, when you're thinking about returning to work.
One of the things that held her back from going back earlier was confidence. So she was not able to really see from what she was already doing in her, in inverted commas, non-working life that was valuable. So back to your point earlier about what we do as mums is so transferable back into the workplace. So when she stepped back and looked at all the stuff she'd been doing, the millions of pounds she'd raised for the school, the tens of, well, actually, you know, over 5 years, hundreds of volunteers that she's rallied together to create incredible events, that is CV material right there.
Yeah.
You know, that is, please employ this woman. She is awesome at what she does. And but she couldn't see that because she's just raising money for the PTA. No, no, no. So yeah, so confidence, like, I think that's a really big thing. You like to talk a bit about confidence. Have you got anything that, any nuggets of confidence that we can share here?
I do. So predominantly I work with women that are returning from maternity leave, but that's not necessarily straight away. It might be up to a year down the line, because that's when the juggle really kicks in. As you talked about, and the mindset monkeys kind of kick in at that point as well. And we realise and we recognise that we might not be able to work in the same way that we could before we had children, because we now have other priorities. And as we said, that's not to say that our ambition goes. But one of the biggest things for women at that kind of stage tends to be around their own confidence. And one of the questions that I like to ask people is, what does confidence mean to you? Because actually, what confidence might mean to me versus what confidence means to you might be completely different. And so when someone shows up and says, I'm not very confident anymore, I really want to focus on my confidence, the first thing to understand is, what's the word confidence? What does that actually mean to you? And where do you want to be showing up as more confident in your life? A lot of the women that I work with, they might be feeling really confident in how they're parenting, as an example, or they might be feeling really super confident with, you know, how they're managing the household chores and the things that we do. And it's about, where are you not feeling confident, so that we can really hone in on, focus on that one or two kind of particular areas of confidence at that point.
Yeah.
One of the activities that I take people through is to start to map down, what are your strengths? What were your strengths before you went on maternity leave? What are your strengths now? And how do you lean into those? And think about different scenarios that can remind you of that. So for example, and if you are heading off on maternity leave, a really good tip that I would give you, something to do, is work with your leader and start to jot down for yourself all of your absolute strengths, the things that you absolutely nail in the workplace, and put some examples against that as well. Because when you're then returning to work 9, 6, 9, 12 months, a year later, however long it is for you, trying to remember what you did before can actually be really hard. So if you've got this kind of one pager of, actually, here's what I'm incredible at, here's some of the feedback that I had, that can really help you as you're stepping into your role to remember all of the areas that you are, that you're great and you have superpowers.
Yeah, definitely. And that's that whole sort of imposter syndrome sort of smashing against that, because you've got absolute evidence here that's telling you, no, you've done this. And another thing around that, actually, journaling, I found for myself personally and also with clients in the past, writing down, even on a daily basis, what have I achieved today? And when you go back and have a look on the days where you don't feel quite so strong, or you feel a little bit doubtful because you're standing up and doing a presentation or something that you might find scary, looking back and going, well, do you remember that one? You smashed that one. And so journaling, I think, is a really good tactic as well in the confidence.
So I'm not as much of a journaler, but for me, what works is I have a folder on my laptop. And if I ever get feedback, then I will pop that into there. Or if I've had verbal feedback, I might jot that down for myself and I pop that into my folder. So I guess that's my version of journaling. But again, to have something, have a space where you've got some really amazing feedback, where you've got people giving examples of things that you're doing well, I think that's always really helpful from a confidence perspective to look back on.
Definitely. Even like, I remember a post-it sticker once, I had some feedback from somebody, which was really awesome. And I wrote on a post-it sticker and stuck it next to my computer, which worked for me. So yeah, you're right. Recording in any way that it becomes something that you can see and you can use. Definitely. Have you ever heard of the Amy Cuddy TED Talk?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, fake it till you become it. There's the whole fake it till you make it, which can be that unauthentic confidence, people can say. So you're basically pretending to be confident when you're not. But her view, do you know, I'm not going to steal her thunder because it's a little bit deeper than what I'm about to say, but I'll just like give a little overview. If the idea is that you fake it till you become it. So it's more about that the more you do something, the more physically you do it, the more that your brain catches up and goes, oh, I can do this. So it becomes the authentic confidence. It's not just about pretending. But she talks about power poses and about having your arms outstretched. And if you see animals and you see athletes and people and different mammals in different situations, as we are wider in our stance, it's a sign of confidence. As she talks about, not doing it at a board meeting necessarily, but standing in the toilets before something scary and put your hands in the air and no one can see me do that, but you can.
Yeah. Well, I love that. I love that you're doing it there, actually. Standing up is great, though. If you're working from home and you are able to stand up, it is brilliant if you're going into a meeting because it's just you're able to project yourself a little bit more, I think.
Yeah, definitely. So in terms of the challenges of going back to work and the tips of going back to work successfully, if people think about the confidence and how to work on that confidence with some of those ideas and think about what they actually want and what they want now, that's a really important part of getting the different pieces in place to go back to work with confidence and
I
ease.
think so. And particularly with my clients as well, I would say plan as much as you can, whether it is your weekly meals and what that might look like, whether it's packing bags the night before, whatever you can do that makes your week easier, I would definitely be saying plan in as much as you can and set really realistic expectations as well. Because how many people do we know that jump back into the workplace without kind of easing themselves back in, without reminding themselves of what it is that they do, where they're great? And so I think there's something really important for me about setting expectations over those first 30, 60, 90 days, both from a work perspective, but also a personal perspective as well. And I think you were talking about earlier about taking time to look after ourselves. And I think that's super important in that return to work journey.
Oh God, you know, I'm sitting here nodding, and that's, yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really overlooked. What I found has worked with various clients, myself and friends, is actually putting some time in the diary. So actually diarising a half an hour, 20 minutes, whatever works for you, but in the diary, so it's in, not trying to find space as time goes on, but maybe whatever works for you. I'm going to just throw something, say Thursday, 6 p.m. every Thursday. That's a slot, like a calendar event for you to do something. Because it's so easy as time starts to get squeezed as you get back into work that that goes chunking time and putting a meeting request in the diary for yourself almost, I think is a good
I
way
do that
for
with my
it.
husband. We have a date morning. So we drop our daughter off at nursery. Literally, when the nursery doors open, in you go, off you go, enjoy breakfast with your friends. We'll go out and have a breakfast, or we might just walk the dog together. And it's that time actually just for us together. And we're back at our desks for kind of 9, 9:30 or something. But just having that time and that space in the morning, and that's in the diary for every month so that we've got that planned in and we know that it's coming.
We have Reflection Day,
Oh,
it's
do you?
called. We do. It's a whole day, but it's never a whole day. I guess who has a whole day when you've got kids and dogs and life? But what it is a marker, just as you said, and it's not too often that it becomes impossible. But it's a lovely thing to do. What would be your top tip be for somebody returning to work, Kelly, if
Oh, you
I
have
put you
put me
on the
on the spot.
spot?
I think one of the most important things is to have some upfront conversations with your leader on your return. It's about understanding the expectations for yourself and for the business and being able to talk openly as much as you can with your leader around that. And one particular thing that I always talk to my clients about, if your child is going to daycare or whatever that might look like, particularly during those first couple of months when you get the nursery bugs, what conversations you need to have with your leader at that point when the nursery calls, and do that in advance. Because so many times I see women return to work, they've only been back maybe a week, and suddenly nursery calls and says to them, "You need to come pick your child up now." And women feel such guilt that they've only just returned to the workplace and suddenly they're running out again to get their child. So do that up front, do that actually before you return. Have the conversation with your leader that says, if the nursery calls, this is how I'll notify you, or this is how I'll make up time, whatever that might be. Agree that with your leader in advance so you're not doing that in the moment, particularly if you've just kind of returned to work. It just takes some of the stress away. But have open conversations with your leader. Plan what your return journey looks like. And I honestly think about the first 30, 60, 90 days and what success looks like for you through those periods of time. And hold yourself accountable with your leader on it. And what about you?
Yeah, no, I think that's great advice. And I think actually practical tips is what's needed in those first 30, 60, 90 days because it is getting back in there and often with intrepidation, really. How long is it going to take me to get to the office? And there's a lot of practical things to think about. So I think that's really great advice. And actually what came to mind as you were talking through that was communication. And it's absolutely critical. And it's with your leader and with your partner or whoever's at home that you're sharing this with as well. It's making sure that you've got fully open channels of communication so that you can talk about how you feel, what's going on, and you know that you're supported while you go through this life stage change.
For some people, families come in every different shape and size now as well. I often talk about finding a tribe. So where can you find some people around you as well that you can have those open conversations with, whether it's a good day or whether it's a bad day you're having? Who around you can you have those open conversations with? Where's your tribe? And if you think for workplaces, particularly bigger organizations, you might have networks internally, for example, which is a brilliant resource to look at. And if you're in a smaller place or there's no networks yet, can you start one? Start a family's network or a carer's network, for example, so that you start to have some people around you that are going through something similar.
Absolutely brilliant. And I think that's actually a really great place for us to leave this, because you are one of the people that I would call.
I would call you too.
Oh, there you go. That's great. But it's just so true. Network. Who's out there who can cheerlead you and support you when you need it? Invaluable. Just, yeah. Yeah. Brilliant. Thanks, Kelly. That's been a fabulous chat.
I've loved it so much. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I hope that these anecdotes, ideas and the chat we've had will spark some ideas and give you some practical tips on setting yourself up for success when returning to work, whatever life stage that's at. So good luck. And if you want more detail on what we've talked about, you can find us on Careering into Motherhood website and Facebook group, Helena Ewers and Kelly Nedelcu. We've got some blog articles on there you may find interesting as well, or visit us at our websites. For Kelly, that's Career and Parenthood. And for Helena, that's Start the Ripples.